As we continue the series of messages this summer, the pastors are taking on what we consider to be contemporary Christian issues. This evening, my issue is Christian ministry and the poor. And I think in America, it's very easy to feel that there's work out there for everyone who's willing to work. The ethic has been that there is work for all who are willing, in a land where there is opportunity for all. And where that is practiced, there seems to be great benefit not only for the people who are working themselves, but also for the society at large. And when you couple that thought together with scriptural teaching about laziness, you have a pretty powerful line of thinking. For example, Paul in 2 Thessalonians 3 to the church in Thessalonica gave this rule. He wrote, "If a man will not work, he shall not eat." To the same church, to some in the church there, the command was given to settle down and earn the bread that you eat. Proverbs is another place where you would find an example of laziness being described. And here, a laziness which will ultimately lead to poverty, to becoming poor. In Proverbs 14:23, "Work and you will earn a living, but if you sit around talking, you will be poor." And in my mind, there is no question but that the value of work and the work ethic should continue and must continue. And at least in part, any country that wants to succeed materially, have people who are satisfied, who would feel good about themselves as well, must be a country that continually practices a work ethic where people are willing to work and where they produce, where there's productivity in the labor that they're involved in. Yet not all poor people are poor because they're not willing to work, or because they're looking for a free handout, or because they're lazy. Not all poor people are poor for those reasons. The Bible is literally filled with example after example of people who are materially poor for other reasons. And for example, in the same Proverbs that spoke of people who are poor from laziness and idleness, we find things such as these that I would invite you to turn in portions of Proverbs to read with me. Proverbs chapter 14 and verse 21. That verse says, "He who despises his neighbor sins, but happy is he who is gracious to the poor." The same chapter, verse 31, "He who oppresses the poor reproaches his maker, but he who is gracious to the needy honors him." Chapter 21 and verse 13. "He who shuts his ear to the cry of the poor will also cry himself and not be answered." Chapter 22 and verse 9. "He who is generous will be blessed, for he gives some of his food to the poor." And that down in the chapter as well in verse 22 and 23. "Do not rob the poor because he is poor, or crush the afflicted at the gate. For the Lord will plead their case and take the life of those who rob them." Then in chapter 29 and verse 7 of Proverbs. "The righteous is concerned for the rights of the poor. The wicked does not understand such concern." And then finally, chapter 31, verses 8 and 9. "Open your mouth for the dumb, for the rights of all the unfortunate. Open your mouth, judge righteously, and defend the rights of the afflicted and the needy." And the same Paul who wrote to the Thessalonians, also wrote in Galatians how he and Barnabas, involved in their ministry of preaching the gospel to the Gentiles, also continued to remember the poor. Paul writes, the very thing that he was eager to do. And Paul led in the collection that was to go and did go to the poor among God's people in Jerusalem. In biblical times, people were very often poor because they were oppressed by those who were stronger, because they were under unjust laws, because they were invaded by enemy people and their land was ransacked. They were often poor because of natural disasters which ruined their crop and their livelihood. They were poor for a variety of reasons other than laziness. The fatherless, children, widows, and landless aliens were often among the poor of the people who were in Israel. And I think that probably in New Testament times there were at least some Christians who were poor because of their faith and their convictions and their commitment to Jesus Christ were denied certain job opportunities that other people would have. And in preparation for this evening, I read probably better than 100, not short verses, but extended portions of Scripture that deal with this topic, with this subject matter. And in light of that, I feel confident in saying that because there are legitimate needs of many poor people who are themselves legitimately poor and would be justified by anyone's way of thinking, and because the Bible far more than not sees poverty as a result of oppression and other reasons other than laziness, and because God Himself has a great love and concern for poor people, God calls Christians to have the same love and concern and compassion for the poor that He Himself has. And He calls Christians to help them. Some years ago, I did an internship at an inner city church in Chicago in between the second and third years of school, of seminary. And a few years prior to that time, there was an event that happened in the life of that congregation that really caused them to refocus their thoughts about ministry to predominantly the poor in their community, which their community was, by and large, made up of poor people. And one thought was, initially, to have a Christian coffee house in the Old Town section of Chicago. And so they started a coffee house where mainly there was a gospel presentation and some light entertainment and refreshments, and designed to help the people in the community there and to preach to them and so forth. And as a result of this, there came some dissatisfaction and some frustration as a result of that ministry. And so the pastor of the church, the leader of the coffee house, and the other leaders of the church called for a meeting with some of the area young people who were causing some problems. And so they all gathered around a table. And the director of the coffee house ministry expressed his personal frustration. He said to these young people, "What is it? What is it about what we're doing? We're really trying to communicate God's love to you through what we're doing in the coffee house." And one of the young men got up on that table, literally got up on that table, walked across it, and he pointed his finger at that fellow who'd make those comments, and he said, "You can take your Jesus and get him out of here. You haven't lifted one finger to help us since you've been here." And as a result of that, and some other less dramatic events, I would say, the leadership of the church went back and they went through the scriptures and see, what is our role here in this community of predominantly poor people? And they found over 400 passages in the Bible that speak of God's concern for justice and His care for the poor and His concern for poor people. And as a result of that, they began over the course of time to develop ministries to meet the needs of the poor, as well as their spiritual needs, but other needs. They started a senior citizens ministry. They started a counseling ministry where people could pay nothing or pay as much as they could. They started day camp for the children. They started tutoring for kids who were at a much lower reading level than so many of the kids that we would think of today in our setting. The education was not good, and so they started to help these children in tutoring them. Club programs were started. Job skill training was given. A legal aid clinic was begun where there were two full-time attorneys who gave their time and their energy for this ministry, because there were mainly people who were being accused of crimes, and some which they did not commit, but the problem was they only had a public defender. They could not afford an attorney. And the public defender, try as he might, did not have the time to do the research into all of these cases. And so they started different ministries like this. And God is using that church in a unique way. And Northwest Oklahoma City is by no means the inner city of Chicago. And I'm not advocating that we start all these things that church did. The needs are not so obvious here as they are in the inner city of Chicago. But are you aware that our congregation is actively involved in helping, in meeting the needs of some poor among us and outside of our congregation? Some things that I've become aware of since being here at Metropolitan are that we have a clothes attic that provides clothing, good clothing, for people that have needs in that area. And my office is in that building, and I know who comes in, and I know who goes up there. And I think a lot of you folks would be surprised at many people who do take advantage of that. There's a benevolence fund, of course, that is available. I've been aware of occasions where food has been given, freely given, to people in need. Jobs are often called into the church office, and people in need of jobs have been specifically helped through that. I've seen and am aware of scholarship aid being given to people, to camps, and to other things that they could not afford to go to had they not had that. There's support of world missions and those who are needy throughout the world. Our church is involved, and I am sure that there are probably hundreds of examples that could be multiplied where people who have been in need have been helped, but we don't know about it because it's not a big fanfare thing, and the right hand doesn't know what the left hand is doing. But it goes on, and it goes on. Yet my reason for bringing this topic to our attention tonight is because I believe it's still a very, very live issue, even amongst our people, and in light of the times we live in Oklahoma. And it's important to realize that God's concern, continual concern and compassion for the poor, should lead us to have that same compassion and concern. Greater awareness is needed of people's needs, and greater sensitivity and responding to those needs and compassion is needed. Matthew 25, 31 through 40, and I won't read it. If we had time, we would, but we will not. But I can say this, that I believe that passage speaks of a time that when the Lord returns and there is a judgment of the Gentiles who have come through the tribulation period, Jesus describes certain works which give evidence of people being among the redeemed of those Gentiles and people who are not among the redeemed of the Gentiles. They are works that do not lead to salvation, but they're works which give evidence of their being genuine believers in Jesus Christ. And read that portion of Scripture, and you'll see that it includes some very practical things of helping those who are in need. And when have we helped you, Lord? When you've done it to the least of these my brethren, you've done it unto me. Pastor Harold comes.